And be agile in your life. A lot of people, there's a lot of talk lately on LinkedIn and people realizing that, hey, this works in my life too. I've actually had people on Scrum team, a big resistor. He turned around. He was a big resistor in the front. I thought we were going to clash, but we didn't. I took a soft approach. He actually came to me and he thanked me one day. It was the greatest thing ever. He thanked me. We were friends. He told me he had my back, and he actually said he went home and was thinking about getting his PSM and watching videos online and wanting to apply it to his life, agile to his life, talking with his wife, a guy that was a big resistor, wanting to do that in a few months.
That challenges you from the inside. Come be more and discover the agile within. And now here's your host, Greg Miller.
Again, this is the first session of the Agile Within. And what I'd like to do here initially is cover a couple things. My background, who I am, and what this podcast hopes to cover. I hope to do this about weekly, and I plan to have guests that I know, colleagues that I've had in my past, and discover the Agile Within, more on the side of the behavior and the mindset that is needed, both in Agile and in our life outside of Agile. So I hope to have some interesting conversations here. It's really a topic that's very passionate to me, and the psychological aspect. And I again, hopefully every week. So with that, let's kick off my background, who I am. Again, my name is Greg Miller. I live in Ohio, close to Cincinnati. I have been in Agile for about 10 years, a little over 10 years. I have had several roles. I've been QA. I started off as a QA back in 2010 on my first Scrum team. They were doing Scrum. I had no idea that I was even on a Scrum team. I didn't know what Scrum was. I remember it vividly. I heard my manager say to somebody else, hey, if we're agile, and it piqued my interest, I said, we're agile. I was like, oh, that's interesting. It just piqued my interest. I had no idea what it was. We did daily stand-ups. We did start doing some retrospectives. We did do backlog prioritization. The development manager was actually the Scrum Master. Again, I had no idea what was right, wrong, up, down, whatever. I just know that I was interested in it. We did do some sprint reviews. We did have a product owner. I come to find this out later as I understood more what Agile was about. Scrum was about. It was Scrum. I didn't know what Agile was. Again, he just said Agile. And I said, okay, this is Agile, which it is. And but come to find out we were doing Scrum. So again, I was QA. I wasn't really on a team. I supported a product, but we were all together. We called it a bullpen. All the QA was together. And I remember them talking about wanting to put us on teams. And that never did happen. And I thought that was very interesting. So it was QA. And then after that, we did have a BA on the team, and I started getting interested. And I remember when I very first heard Given When Then, how to write acceptance criteria from our BA. And I was fascinated by that because I was an English major in college. So I had a strong background in communications, in writing. So I liked to write. And talking about user stories, the word story, I guess, got me there. And oh, I had it all messed up. I had the when it should be given and vice versa. And I remember putting it up on the screen and them saying, well, yeah, you got it mixed up here. I was trying and I failed. Right. And that's, I come to find out that's okay. Right. I tried, I got feedback and I got really good at it. A lot of people, some people in the QA, they didn't like it. They were saying, this given when then I don't really like that. And I was like, that's fine. So I pursued it more and I followed this BA around and started getting some information, advice. And then I said, okay, how do I get into this more? And I actually took a online certification class in business analysis. Come to find out it was more like waterfall, but it at least gave me the taste for what BAs do. And I thought at first that they were going to say, hey, you have to have a technical background to do this. And I was going to be out. But I remember the teacher in the class, someone asked her that direct question. Do you have to have a dev background? And she said, no, you don't have to have a technical background. And I said, great. Went through that class, really liked it. And that class cost me a lot of money. It was every week for a while. And I believe it cost me like $3,000 actually. And I didn't have that much money, but I did. I spent it, and it was well worth it. Stayed at that company, tried to become a BA. It didn't work out. I left and went to a consulting company. They took a chance on me as a junior BA, and then it kind of went from there. They placed me in a company as a BA on a Scrum team, on a real Scrum team. For the really the first time doing it right, Scrum Master, BA, devs, we supported a mobile platform, and that was really where I cut my teeth. There was a lot of other consulting companies there, and I remember I sat next to this lady, and she had a lot of knowledge, and I made a lot of mistakes. But that's how you learn, right? And she would help correct me. And I learned that. And then that contract ended. And then I went to another place as a BA as well, with the same consulting company. And from there, I got up my PSM, Scrum Master 1 certification. And that really, the more I delved into it, the more I realized I really enjoy this. It really hit a nerve with me, not so much the process, but the reason for this podcast, the mindset, the behavior. I always told myself I should have been a psychology major because I took a lot of psychology classes. I took this abnormal psychology class and it was fascinating to me. And this kind of all makes sense now. The more I looked into BA, I actually went out and did the Six Sigma. I got a green belt and I was like, oh yeah, I started piecing it together. Everything I was learning, it just, everything fit and it just fell into place. And I kept becoming a stronger BA, staying in Scrum environments. And then someone who could help them go through their agile start, their agile transformation. So I went to a couple companies that way. And then eventually I did that for 5 years. And then eventually got into being a Scrum Master. It felt like to me, it was a natural progression to become a Scrum Master as I got stronger and stronger in my Scrum knowledge. And I saw other people do it. I had colleagues that went from BA to maybe product owners and BA to Scrum Masters and maybe eventually joy is working with people, taking a brand new team that knows nothing about Scrum or Agile and getting them in the right direction with processes, but more so the mindset, the behavior, because that's where it's really at. And I've heard throughout my 10 years in Scrum is that if you don't have the mindset shift, you're not really doing Scrum. You could be doing the process. Yeah, we do the daily stand-ups or whatever, or XP, what have you, Kanban. Scrum is the most popular. That's where I have the most familiar, but I have done some XP too, Conberation. I was in a waterfall environment and some people might like it and that's fine. But the way they treat each other, the way I saw firsthand, the way I was treated, the way vice presidents were treated, the lack. My PM would come to me and somehow we were supposed to know what was going on, even though information was hidden from us. So I didn't really like that. I knew this wasn't the way to be. And I didn't want to be in that anymore. So I knew that wasn't for me. I knew Scrum and Agile was where I wanted to be. Hopefully for the rest of my career. I've been doing it for 10 years. Hopefully I can have another 20 years or plus doing this. So I really enjoy it. So that is the reason why I want to do this podcast here. Kind of another reason in addition to that is no matter when you're listening to this, the year is 2020 and all around the world. Was a Scrum Master before it happened. And then once it happened, it wasn't so bad. Honestly, I wasn't that scared. I realized that, okay, this happens. I could get unemployment. I'm married. I have a wife. We have some income. We don't live paycheck to paycheck. That's fine. So it took me 3 months to find the job I'm at now. And I am a Scrum Master in a company going through an Agile transformation. And I love it. It's really good. I think they're really going in the right direction. So that time there, 3 months, they're being laid off, as you can imagine, really got me thinking. You're home. You don't have a lot to do. You're applying for jobs, right? Getting turned down. And got me thinking what I want to do. So that's when I started, you know, getting a few certifications, probably as a lot of people want to do. You start examining. I knew I wanted to stay in this. So I got some certifications and I wanted to teach classes. And that, I found out that was one of my passions too. At one of my companies, I was a Scrum trainer, not a certified Scrum trainer, but I trained for Agile and Scrum at this company for new employees and for current employees because they really needed it. And again, scared to death to do that. And, but I reached out of my comfort zone and I love it. The first couple classes were rough, but I got through it. And now I love it. And this is another part of reason why I want to do this is this, podcast is if you're listening and you're new at Scrum, or even if you're not, my goal is to help you learn, maybe give you some insights that you've never had before and get you thinking and give you confidence that you can do it and take questions. We will take questions and talk about them on the air and all things like that, but all around the mindset. That's my initial thought. I don't want to get so much into how you run daily standups and how Scrum Masters handle such and such situations. I personally have been through that. I have an outlet for that. That's not what this is about. This is not to pick up tips and tricks on how to run a retro, things like that. That's not my initial thinking. My initial thinking is more, if you want to talk about, ask questions around the mindset of a retrospective and how you, what people's mindsets and the trust you have to build in that session and things like that, the behavior changes that it really pulls out there, that's great. But I'm not really here to kind of help you how to run the session. So with that, again, we're going to talk about in this podcast, as you can imagine, some of the Agile Manifesto values and principles. I'll bring that up, and some of my favorites that are in there and what all that means, and how you can apply it to your life too, not just in your job. So you can be agile in your life. A lot of people, there's a lot of talk lately on LinkedIn and people realizing that, hey, this works in my life too. I've actually had people on Scrum team, a big resistor. He turned around. He was a big resistor in the front. I thought we were going to clash, but we didn't. I took a soft approach. He actually came to me and he thanked me one day. It was the greatest thing ever. He thanked me. We were friends. He told me he had my back, and he actually said he went home and was thinking about getting his PSM and watching videos online and wanting to apply it to his life, agile to his life, talking with his wife, a guy that was a big resistor, wanting to do that in a few months. I'm not touting that I say that I did that. I don't think I had much to do with it, quite honestly. I was just saying, this is what it is. And this is what Scrum is about. Because the Scrum Master before him was, I guess, pretty heavy-handed, and he got let go. So they had a bad taste in their mouth. So in order to turn someone like that around, I just was like, wow, he got it. Once you get it, you really, really can realize that you can do something with it. So he started doing planning in his life and with things he wanted to do, and then check and adjust, right? Retrospectives, how are things going? You can do that with your family. You can do that with your kids. Everything. And maybe we'll get into that in some of the sessions here, as we go along. So as I said, I'm very passionate about this, and, hopefully we'll see where it goes. These sessions should be about, my goal is about 20 to 30 minutes each session, hopefully weekly. We'll see how that goes. That's my goal. I like to do it with at least some regularity to that. Website, you can get a hold of me. I do have an email address. You can get a hold of me that way as well. Twitter, I hope to have a YouTube channel too. So there's lots of ways you can get a hold of me to ask me your questions and submit topics. And if I think your topic is something that the listeners will be interested in, I'd love to reach out to you and possibly have you on. If it's something that you're passionate about, that's great, because that's what this is all about. I don't want to have necessary big name people on this podcast. Well, I don't know a lot of big name people, but I'm interested in having people that like me are in the field doing it. They get it. They're passionate about it. They have a lot to say, and maybe they're not being heard. And this could be a forum for you to be heard. That's why I'm doing this. I realized I have a lot to say, and I need to say it. There is this pressure on my chest every single day telling me, you got to do something. You got to do this right here. You got to do something like this. And I was ignoring it for a while, and it wouldn't go away. I had the idea for this podcast. This is October. I said probably 9, 10 months ago. It's not a whole lot of time, but I would get up the pen, put pen to paper every now and then, write down some ideas and put it in my notebook and put it away, and then come back and life gets in the way. And I was like, no, I just got to do it. And once I took a step, first step was to, how do you do a podcast? So I looked at that online. Need to buy a microphone. Okay. I need to buy a headset. And then it went from there. You need to get this stuff, and I need to get a better computer, and it costs some money. It's not crazy money. I can afford it, and I feel it's worth it, because it's, and that pressure in my chest went away. So I like to believe that that was my inner voice telling me you have to take action. And I did. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. If you do great in Scrum, Agile, or how you've applied it to your life, like I mentioned that other gentleman on my team did, that would be awesome to see how you applied it to your life. And again, maybe to help some other people. That's my goal, to help other people improve their lives professionally, personally, what have you. So there you go. There you go. That's what this is all about. So thanks for listening. And I will be putting out other ones. I have lots of topics lined up, a couple people that I have lined up that I want to talk to. So thanks for listening, and hope to have you come back for the very first episode with a guest. Thanks a lot.